Hi, this is Tim.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the Foster Parenting Podcast.
We created this show to educate and inform our friends, family,
and anyone who wants to listen
about our lives as foster parents.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, big congratulations to Dan and Krista.
Woohoo! Way to go, Dan and Krista.
Congratulations, you guys, on your adoption.
And this is something Dan and Krista didn't share, and hopefully I'm not out of line with this, but now that they've adopted, they can actually change Dylan and Austin's names legally, and they're going to rename the boys Tim and Wendy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. I'm not sure which one gets named Wendy, but I'm sure he's going to get beat up a lot.
Wow. You don't think Tim's going to get beat up a lot?
Oh, probably. If he's, you know.
That's funny, Tim.
Well, what's the most frequent question you've heard over the last month or so? Well, why don't I tell you what the most frequent
question? How are you? Would you like fries with that?
Most frequent question I've heard related to foster care is, how are Luke and Nolan? Mm-hmm. And they moved out of our house. I can't remember how long ago.
It was exactly a month ago.
Exactly a month. Wow. Mm-hmm. Nice job. And we've seen them twice in that time, and both times were great. We saw them for lunch with their foster family and with their younger brother's foster family.
Mm-hmm. That was a big, huge, massive
mass of people.
Yeah.
But it was good to see them. And that was only a week after they had moved out. And it was good. They clearly had already identified their new foster parents as the people they needed to check in with. And yeah. It's kind of a nice closure moment, right?
Yep. And then the second time was just this week.
Yeah, just a couple days ago.
So it had been a few weeks since we had seen them. And we went and picked them up and took them out to dinner.
Yeah. And it was good to see them. Wendy asked some really good questions.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, we had learned that Luke has learned to ride a bike.
Yes.
In the time with his new family. And they're also getting him some math tutoring, which is great. And it sounds like they're just able to give him a lot more time and energy, which is really good.
She's a stay-at-home mom, and the boy said that they basically spend all day with her, which is really, really good for attachment, we all know.
Yep. Okay, our cat Pigeon is in here with us, and she is going nuts.
She's usually pretty chill at night, and all of a sudden when we start podcasting right now, she's just freaking out.
I think she sees a spider. So Wendy had a really good question for the boys, and she asked them if they were happy. Mm-hmm. And she asked them to rate their happiness on a scale of 1 to 10. And Nolan said a 5. Mm-hmm. And Luke said 9, which was really surprising.
And then we asked them to compare it to, you know, other times, like when they first went to the county facility and were detained, and then when they first came to us. And
you mean Fenster Hall?
Fenster Hall. So long, Fenster Hall. And pretty much they both agree that they're doing better than they ever have.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Which is really good.
Even though they still seem, you know, to the outside, they're looking in, and even to us, they still have the affect of a depressed person. Mm-hmm. They are happier than they've been before.
Yeah. And Luke invited us to his birthday party.
Big deal for Luke.
Yes, very big deal.
So that's coming up later this month.
We said we'd think about it.
We said for sure.
Well, tonight we have a special interview.
Yeah, you did this one.
I did. And I guess we'll just let the interview speak for itself.
Okay.
All right. Well, we are here with Jacob, and I brought Jacob on to talk about Royal Family Kids Camp. We have had a number of foster kids. Hey, welcome. We've had a number of kids go to Royal Family Kids Camp, and they've all had a great time there. And I thought it'd be great to have somebody who served as a counselor there talk about his experience there. So welcome to the podcast, Jacob.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell us about Royal Family Kids Camp and how you got involved.
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story. I was never really a kid type person. I was working at a mega church, and I was on staff that year, and the leadership decided that everybody on staff needed to go on a mission trip that summer. And my first thought in my heart was, I'm already in full-time ministry. I don't have time for this. And so I looked at the list and I signed up for what I thought would be the easiest thing, which was go build houses in Mexico. I figure you could work, you didn't have to really interact with people, and if you were lucky afterwards, we might go get some margaritas. So that was, I was signed up for that.
You just
And
scandalized
then,
some of our churchgoers.
possibly, possibly. So I was all set for that, and then I was reading the listings and saw this thing that said Royal Family Kids Camp help kids who've been abused and neglected ages 6 to 12. And I kind of had this conversation with God that kind of went like this. I said, God, I minister to adults, not to children. That half of the church where the nursery is and the classrooms, I don't go in that half of the church even when there aren't any children there. And God said, no, you need to go to this. And so reluctantly I called and they said, yes, there's still room. And so they signed me up. And somehow I ended up being a chaperone on the bus. So I'm getting on a bus with 50 boys out of the social system, most of them either foster kids or in group homes. And I'm walking on this bus and I'm thinking, I think the last time I spoke to a 10-year-old is when I was 10. And I'm a little bit intimidated by this. And then I'm getting to the back of the bus and I'm hearing the words these kids are using and I'm thinking, these aren't the same kids that are in the halls at church. They're a little rougher. And one kid in particular I met in the back of the bus, his name was Jose, and he was probably the smallest kid on the bus, but he was the meanest for sure. And he would tease the other kids, he would tease the adults, he would spit, he just would do anything to get to just annoy you, just annoy you. And I remember thinking, this is probably the worst, not only the worst kid I've ever met, this is the worst human being I think I've ever met in my life. And
Wow.
so I get to camp. And well, gotta remember, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be there at all. So I get to camp, and the director comes up to me, and I was going to be running an activity, and I thought that was great. I'm going to run an activity, so the kids will come and they'll do the thing, and I'll send them away, and I won't, I'll have some distance between me and these kids. And I get to camp, and then the director comes up to me and says, Jacob, I was wondering if you could help us out. We ended up having more boys than we thought that we were going to have. And can you be a counselor instead of just run an activity? And outside I said, oh, sure, whatever you need, Kathy, I'm here to serve the kids. And inside, that's what I said
Make me a
outside.
servant.
And inside I was just like shaking my fist, like, why, God, why are you doing this to me? And at Royal Family, we have it's one counselor for every two kids. So I got assigned two boys that were 11-year-olds. Jose wasn't one of my kids, but he was in my cabin. And he continued to just be this little living terror. And so about midweek, I'm in the pool with Jose, and normally Jose's wearing like, hoodies and like gangster clothes. And but now I see him in his swim trunks, and I'm standing in the pool, and he's sitting on the edge, and I'm looking at his legs, and I almost said this out loud, and I didn't, thankfully, but I said, hey, I almost said, hey, Jose, what are those marks on your legs? And then I realized it just hit me like a ton of bricks. They were cigarette burns, and there were 10 or 12 on each leg. And in that one moment, God just totally broke my heart, to use the cliche, but I can't describe it in any other way. And he said to me, "You have no idea. You have no idea what Jose has been through. The people who were supposed to love him have hurt him. And I want you, Jose is my child, and I want you to love him for me." And it was just, it just, I mean, in some ways, it was a moment that changed my life. We do something at Royal Family called we call it the variety show. We used to call it the talent show, but it's kind of intellectually dishonest. It's not always talent. We have so we let the kids get up there and we let the kids perform whatever they want to do, and it's a great opportunity. Most of these kids, they've been bouncing around, in the system, and so they're not on sports teams. They're not getting violin or piano lessons. They're not picked to be in the school plays. And so Jose gets up there and he's going to do a rap, and we're all kind of worried, you know, what's Jose going to say? What's he going to do? And he's got some guys up there who are doing like the beatbox behind him. And he gets up there and he puts on his angriest face. And he gets up there and he says, "I love camp. The food is delicious. The counselors are awesome. We had fun at the crawdads." And we were like, "Whoa, what happened to Jose?" And it was just amazing to see this little guy who came to camp with so much anger and so much hurt, with just mm-hmm. a week of love, how much it gave him just a little ray of hope.
Wow.
So that's how I got involved.
So you were hooked after that.
After that first year, we spend a lot of our lives trying to determine what's God's will for our life. You know, should I give 10% or 15%? Should I drink organic milk or regular, you know, whatever. We're always trying to figure out what God's will for our life is. When at that week at camp I never had to question, am I doing God's will? I was. Every second of every minute of every day, it was like, this feels right. I am doing God's will. I am serving the least of these kids, a lot of who weren't, you know, they had traumatic issues, and a lot of them, you know, they don't always say, "Hey, thanks for giving up this week." You know, they're not necessarily gracious and kind all the time, although there are some very touching moments for sure. It's just, you're serving these kids who have been, you know, hurt and you just know this is where God wants me. And it really, after that first week, kind of felt like that week at camp was real. And it was the 51 other weeks of the year where like the fake was like, that was the not real part.
Wow.
And then when you get involved, for me especially, getting involved, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, now I'm looking forward to camp, and you get involved with, you know, preparation and, you know, and getting the camp ready and stuff like that. And it really becomes, for a lot of people who go, becomes part of the rhythm of their life, to get ready for these kids every year and to give them a great, great experience.
Wow, that's great. I can see why you love it. You express how it touched you so well. Let's back up a little bit. Tell me, is Royal Family Kids Camp, is that something just in California, or is that something nationwide? Sure.
It's the organization itself is about, I think it's about 25 years old. They've been doing camps for about 25 years. And what the national organization does is, if from a business standpoint, they're kind of like a franchise, a nonprofit franchise, if you will. And so a church will say, "Hey, we want to do a Royal Family Kids Camp," and then the national organization comes in and they help the church find a campground or a camp location to use. So the church will rent a camp for a week. They'll help them, teach them how to navigate with social services on how to find these kids. And then, you know, the social workers will apply on behalf of the kids, and it's free to the social system. The kids don't have to pay anything, or their caretakers don't have to pay anything for them to come to camp. And then they provide curriculum and training, but then the local church then raises the money, works with social services to find the kids to camp, and then recruits the volunteers, which is the most important thing.
Okay. So basically, there could be a Royal Family Kids Camp anywhere that a church is interested in putting one on.
There, right now, there's 190 in the U.S., and I think there's about 30 international ones now. So yeah, wow. Definitely. I think one of the added benefits, obviously, it's about helping the kids, but I think an added benefit is that it really equips the church to help the kids in their community, in their county, these are the orphans that we're supposed to be taking care of. And it really allows the church not just to push money at a problem, not that there's anything wrong with making donations, but also allows the church and equips the church to give time to the program and give your heart to these kids. So
yeah,
that's one reason I really like it, because the local church really has the ownership of these camps.
That's great. Yeah, I'm only familiar with it through people like yourself who've been counselors there, and the kids that we've had who've gone. And I didn't realize the way they partner with churches. That's great. I love that model. I love how they're doing it. That speaks really well of their organization. And you know, to be honest, the way you described your experience there, every counselor that I've talked to who's gone to Royal Family Kids Camp has talked about it in the
Yes.
same terms.
Certainly my
It's
story isn't
consistent.
unique.
Yeah, the certainly the passion isn't, that's for sure. So let me let's kind of take your one real week out of the year, and how and you say, you know, it becomes a rhythm of your life. How did that one real week expand to the other 51 for you?
Well, I think for one thing, you can't, when you have an experience like that, when you go and you meet these kids and you see them and you realize the pain they've gone through, you can't leave that unchanged. And I think that's why we have 80% return rate from our volunteers from year to year, is you just that it just is with you. And so various counselors, obviously we have make a a strong connection with these kids at camp. And so we and the hard thing is you can't make you these people have been making promises to these kids that have been broken over and over again, and we don't want to make another be another person to break a promise to them. So we can't promise them anything, really. We can't even promise that we'll see them next year because we don't know what will happen. They could be bounced around to some other county. They could go, get reunified with their parents or something. We don't know what's going to happen. But what we do promise them is that we'll pray for them. There's one counselor who said this when they were out at night, and they said, "You see the moon. Every time I see the full moon, or every time I see the moon, I'm going to pray for you." And so certainly, I think probably the most important thing. Is the most important thing that people walk away from is they people become very intentional about praying for these kids, which is huge. I think the other thing is once you understand the need, you're always you don't look at people the same way. You look at people like, hey, can will this person could this person possibly volunteer to come with us to camp? I've got a friend who's our lifeguard. His name's Peter Prieto. And that guy, if you have a conversation longer than in 15 minutes with him, he will bring up camp. And he's been going for several more years than I have. And he got drug into going to camp by his wife. And since then, it's just been a passion of his. And so I think that it really becomes part of your fibers. You're thinking about you when you see people, think, how can this person help us? Can this people person join in. I think also too, certainly at a level for me, I got involved with some of the leadership. And then so you're spending, if you think camp takes a week, and maybe some of your, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have been to camp, and some of them probably worked at a camp somewhere. You spend a lot of time getting programming ready, getting all the organization, raising money for it. It's it costs about $500 a kid on average around the U.S. More in California, of course, so that piece of it also, your limit, the number of kids you can help, is limited by the volunteers and the financial resources you have, and so that is something else that you hey we want to you get excited let's help more kids and you got to do that so you and so and partly I've got a strategic kind of mind frame, so I'm always thinking, okay, what's the step before that? What's the step before that? So we can, when we get to camp, we can take as many kids as possible, and we can give them all a great experience. And something that I think is important, and I think that comes out of this, is I think when people come to this camp and they realize, wow, there needs to be more good foster parents, there needs to be more good mentors, there needs to be more, and in some ways, I like to think of camp as kind of, it's easy for someone to commit to going to camp for a week. In some ways, that's easier than committing to be someone's mentor for like 6 months or a year, because it's a week and it's over. But it's a great time to really expose people to what these kids, and realize that, yeah, they've got rough edges, a lot of them, but they're beautiful children of God. And they all have a story, and they all need unconditional love. And just from our camp alone, I know there's people in our camp who have gone on and become foster parents. There's people who've gone on and become mentors. And in camps in general too, there's also been a lot of adoptions as well, which I think are just some really beautiful stories of, you know, you come to camp and you spend a week with like I wish I could remember the name, but there's this one couple and they adopted a sibling group.
Wow.
That they met at camp. That's great. You know, and you think about it too, this is the hardest demographic to get adopted.
Yep.
You know, yep. These are grown up kids that are not grown up kids, but they're infants. They're post toddler, if you will.
They're older kids.
And they're older kids. And so in some ways it really, you know, I think we've gotten some adoptions out of it, that normally you might not have happened because you get a chance to really know these kids. You get to know their flaws, but you get to know that they are created in God's image, and there's a lot of them that have, they're very beautiful people. They're very beautiful kids. So,
tell me quickly about sorry for the abrupt transition, but tell me about your day job.
Sure. So I'm an independent filmmaker, and I've been doing that really about for as long as I've been doing camps. And when we started working on our last film, we said, "Hey, we want to make a movie about camp." It was clear; it was a passion of mine and some of the other people who work on projects with me. And we thought this story needs to be told. And for a couple of reasons why we want to do it. One is we want to provide a tool for the camps to recruit volunteers. And so if I say, "Hey, come to an informational meeting." Boring, but if I say, "Hey, come watch this movie. We have a movie night." It's a little more appealing. Then they see this, and they see the story, and they see how it plays out. And then the other thing too is hopefully that some camps will be able to use it in its initial release as a fundraiser, because that's the other thing: help them raise funds, volunteers, maybe inspire some new camps to be started. You know, there's 130,000 kids in the social system that are this age group, 6 to 12, which is what Royal Family does. And Royal Family reaches about 5% of them, and they'd sure like to reach them all, but even 10% would be great. So if we could, you know, then there's plenty of churches. I know there's more than 190 churches in the U.S. So if we could get more churches to commit to doing a camp, that'd be great. So when we were thinking, you know, as a filmmaker, I want to make films about things I'm passionate about, and so it was kind of like an obvious thing for us to jump into. So we started. We've just finished up I've been working on the third draft of the script today. We can't come up with a script. It's inspired by true stories it's got a bunch of stories kind of mishmashed together, because you want to make an entertaining film. We're hopefully going to be shooting, if we can raise the funds, we're hoping we'll be shooting, this fall.
Wow. Okay. So, you're making a movie about a kid who goes to Royal Family Kids Camp, and supposing the counselors that he encounters there.
Yeah, but also we're making the movie about the reluctant counselor too, who gets his life changed. So that's awesome. The other half. It's a dual story, and you kind of follow both folks as they kind of come together and really have a profound impact on each other's lives. There's probably gonna be a little love story in it too, and it'll be a movie. It'll be fun.
Cool. So you mentioned you're raising funds right now for it. How are you going about raising funds? I'm sure people are just falling over all over themselves to give independent movie makers money to make a movie.
Independent movie is a risky business for sure. There's something out there that some of your listeners may have heard of called Kickstarter. It's a really great way to get people involved who might not be, you know, like a big time investor, but who really want to support a project like this. And the way that Kickstarter works is you set a goal and they give you 40 days or whatever to reach that goal. If you make the goal, you get the money. And if you don't make the goal, none of the pledges, none of the transactions happen. So we're trying to raise $135,000.
Wow.
which is a lot of money for an individual, but a very little money for a film. And we have, I think, 38 days left. We just got started. I think we've raised about 8,000 so far, but we're at the very beginning of the campaign. And it's been really, it's actually been really, there's been some great stories. If you go to the website and you go to camp and you just type in camp, it'll pop up. If you go to kickstarter.com and type in camp, and our page, your page will be one of the options that come up. Just as we've got dug into it, and as we've put it out there to tell people that we're doing this film, it's been really amazing, the response and the people that have kind of come out of the woodwork and to support it, and just to hear the other stories. Because we've been looking for stories and we've been gathering stories and stuff like that for about a year now. And it's amazing that now we're running even more once we kind of gotten public with it. So yeah, so we're excited about it. We're really hoping that we reach the goal. It'll definitely help us get on our way and make sure this film gets out.
Yeah, and I noticed on your Kickstarter page that when you donate, there's also specific levels of return on your investment, I guess, so to
Yeah,
speak.
the way Kickstarter works is, and I think it's a great model. They're what they do is you give a rewards, and so basically it's almost like it's a transaction. So we have rewards like you can get copies of the film when it's done on DVD or Blu-ray, get an autographed poster. Even if you go high enough and get your name in the credits, I think that's $250 to get a thanks in the credits. If that's something you've always wanted to see, your name on the big screen. And then,
And you could even
and
you could purchase a
be an
walk-on
extra.
role even.
Be an extra. Yeah, absolutely. If you can get out to set, we've got a level for that too. So one thing too with this film, we do our own theatrical distribution. We did it with our last film, and we're going to be doing it with this one. And this film will probably play, it's called limited release, but we'll play in about 100 cities around the U.S. It's different than a wide release. It goes out to a couple towns and cities at a time, and then it kind of moves through the country. So, but it will be on the big screen.
One way that I would just encourage our listeners to think about this is if you want to see this kind of movie made, that is faith-based and based on, foster kids, then shell out your money when they come to theaters. But here is a chance to make sure the movie gets made by paying for your ticket in advance or paying for your DVD in advance is a good way to think about it. You know that you'd want to see this movie when it comes out, so why not make sure it gets made and pay your $25 for the DVD now, and you can be guaranteed the movie will be made and you'll get your DVD at a later date.
That's right.
So we'll make sure to put the link to your Kickstarter project on our webpage,
Great.
fosterpodcast.com,
Great.
and
And
if you go
we're
to
also on, you can
kickstarter.com.
find this pretty easy on Facebook too. So, but
Okay,
absolutely
if you just type in camp, right?
just look for camp.
Cool. Well, Jacob, thanks so much for coming on. I love hearing about your experiences at camp. I love how it's bleeding out into your real life as well, and I'm looking forward to seeing the movie when it comes out.
Oh, thanks for having me, and keep and my wife's a big fan of your podcast. You guys keep up with the good work too.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Cool. Sounds like a great movie. Sounds like one that we want to see, and I like your challenge of, hey, consider this your pre-purchase of the DVD.
Yeah.
So, you if you don't if the film doesn't get made, you don't have to pay.
Nope, you don't have to,
Your credit card doesn't get
if they
charged.
don't raise all the money, you don't get charged.
Great. Let's go donate now.
I in fact we already did.
Oh, okay. Let's donate again.
And you listeners should go to our website, fosterpodcast.com, and you can find the link to their Kickstarter project there.
Okay.
Well, that's it for today. To leave a comment or ask a question, please visit our website, fosterpodcast.com.
Or send an email to info@fosterpodcast.com.
Names have been changed on this podcast to protect the privacy of those involved.
Foster parenting is the most heart-wrenching, frustrating, all-consuming thing we've ever done.
But when it gets down to it, it's just about helping kids. And that's been the most rewarding thing in our lives.
If you've ever thought you might adopt or foster, we challenge you to take the next step today.